Tune in every Thursday from 11 p.m. till midnight for Copy and Paste with your host, Tim, a.k.a. Autonomy, the very best in underground dance music.
Tonight, we take pleasure in bringing you Suspense, a weekly anthology of notable melodramas from stage and screen, fiction and radio, presented each week to bring you to the edge of your chair, to keep you in suspense.
Dr. Vitus Artogast, I presume?
Yes.
I am Dr. Artus Vitogast!
Your new neighbor.
Interesting name.
Really? You think so?
No, not really. Just making conversation. Please, won't you come in?
Thank you. The music. Is that Martin Denny?
Can't be all Sturm und Drang all the time. So, you moved into the abandoned castle just down the north slope of Desolation Peak.
Yes. However did you know?
Have you been spying on me?
Because it's the only property within 40 miles.
Oh. Very well. You in this round, Dr. Artogast.
Come again?
As you well know, we are in the same business. Competitors, if you will.
Good for you. Business needs some fresh blood. And not just in the operating theater.
I don't follow.
It's a joke.
A joke?
Or not. Care for a drink?
A drink?
Yes. Helps me relax. You should try it. Wait, you are over 21, aren't you?
What?
Wouldn't want to serve alcohol to a minor, after all.
What?
The sheriff around here can be quite a prickly pair.
The sheriff? You're worried about the sheriff? You're the man who threatened the entire world with your climate control machine.
Ah, the weather or not.
You conquered the Belgian Congo with an army of robot peccaries.
Ah, I should have robotized the native species. It was so confusing for the natives. Most insensitive of me.
You tried to use your super magnetotron to disrupt the moon's orbit just for kicks!
What can I say? As you get older, you learn to pick your battles.
And so now you just sit around listening to Exotica and drinking Mai Tais.
It's a pink squirrel.
When I was a boy at Madame Villain's school for hopefully wayward boys, all the other kids wanted to be bank robbers, military dictators, divorce attorneys. But me, I wanted to be just like you! A mad scientist who ruled the world!
Oh, just for a few hours here and there.
I modeled myself after you in every way. My appearance, my mannerisms, even my speech.
Really? I hadn't noticed.
But now I find that you're just a pathetic has-been, content to wallow in the past glories and fruity mixed drink. Ah.
It's more of an almond flavor, really.
So the time has come for me to take your place as Earth's Mad Scientist Supreme!
Is that actually the title? I should have asked for a sash.
The student has surpassed the teacher. Therefore, be warned, Artogast. Step aside or be washed away in the tidal wave of impending godhead!
Leaving so soon?
You haven't heard the last of Vitus Artogast!
I should hope not. That's me. Are you sure you don't want an umbrella? Ah, well. Dr. Vitogast, you're back.
Yes, Dr. Artogast, I'm back. Oh, yes, I'm back, all right.
And you brought a friend, I see.
A friend? A friend? No, this is no friend.
Oh, well, in any event, you're both welcome. Please, come in.
No, this is just a little something I created in the laboratory last night. A product of genetic engineering. A cross between human and feline DNA. My imp.
Oh, that's nice.
Oh, you see how nice. Imp, menace him!
This really takes me back to when I was a boy. I experimented with gene splicing, too. Gave it up, though. Too many variables. Robotics are much more predictable. But I still kept one of my early experiments around, crossing a bear and octopus gene. Say hello, bear-opus.
Bear and octopus genes, you say? So your feeble mind couldn't work out the coding sequence for a human-animal hybrid, then?
No. It's not that. But I did find that human-animal hybrids had a tendency to be somewhat less trustworthy.
Oh, they do. Do they?
Oh, yes. And human-feline hybrids always prove to be the most troublesome of the lot.
Uh-oh.
Then maybe I'll have to eliminate the trouble.
But now the octopus? Perfect. It has nearly the same degree of intelligence as a human, only without the innate aggressiveness and instinct for treachery.
Yes, that's all well and good, but that's not why I came.
Did you pop by to borrow a cup of sugar?
No, I did not. But make no mistake, if I was in need of sugar, I would hold the world for ransom unless he delivered the entire sugar harvest of Cuba into my grasping hands!
Ah, well, if you're going to dream, dream big.
No, I stopped by to show you this!
Why would you look at that? It's a recreation of my old invisible beam.
And not just a recreation. I have improved upon your antiquated toy in every way.
Splendid! Why don't you give it a whirl?
Oh, indeed I will. Indeed I will.
So close.
The invisible beam projector! It's gone!
No. Not gone. Just turned invisible.
But...
Radiation leak in the invisibility matrix. Not a dangerous dosage, but you don't want to be standing around too long before you fix it. I can give you a hand.
No! You've done quite enough already.
Oh, don't mention it.
Be rest assured that I will not forget this.
Well, I should hope not. After all, I don't want to be tripping over an invisible beam projector in the middle of the night.
No, not that. This insult.
Insult?
Good evening, Dr. Artogast.
But...
I said good evening, Dr. Artogast. I forgot my invisible beam projector.
It's open!
It is I, Dr. Artus Vitogeist.
Of course it is. You do understand that the primary reason for choosing a lair in a remote location is privacy, don't you?
Well, it certainly isn't because you're working on some nefarious plan for world domination. What are you reading there?
The Carpetbaggers.
The New York Times bestseller. Good God, man, have you no decency? If you're going to read, at least read Colts de Goose or The King in Yellow. You know, something evil.
Clearly, you've never read Harold Robbins.
Enough of this foolishness, imp! Bring her in.
Bring who in?
Let go of me, you creep!
Lainey Long, reporter for the Slag City Ledger?
And your loudest critic over the years.
Dr. Artigast? What's this all about?
Miss Long, I'm afraid that I am as much in the dark as you are.
I kidnapped her as part of my master plan.
That's all well and good, but it's your plan. Why bring her here?
Because I wanted you to see it all unfold, since you've clearly forgotten how to do it yourself.
Junior, the only unfolding that's going to happen is when you have to unfold your fat lip from around my editor's fist.
Silence! Imp, my radio phone.
Mayor Edwards.
Mayor Edwards, this is Dr. Artus Vitogast.
Dr. Artigast, the world-famous mad scientist. Are you holding Slag City for ransom again? We'll pay any amount, just don't hurt us.
No, no, not Artigast, Dr. Artus Vitogast! Vitogast!
So you're not Dr. Artigast?
No!
Well, what do you want, Doctor, whoever you are?
What I want, Mr. Mayor, is $5 million, or else I'll unleash the protoplasma cannon on Slag City and make it match its name.
Sorry, we don't negotiate.
But you offered me anything I wanted when you thought I was Artigast.
That's different. He has a reputation. I don't even know who you are.
Ah! Dr. Artus Vitogast! Dr. Artus Vitogast! So you don't know who I am? Well, you will in just a moment. You sign Slag City's death warrant, Mr. Mayor. The last thing any of you see will be the flash of light from here atop Desolation Peak! Imp, my remote control.
You're going to fire your protoplasma cannon remotely? Radio-controlled, then.
Radio-controlled. Radio-controlled, ha! That's as obsolete as the ultra-laser gun you set up here in the observatory dome. No, my protoplasma cannon utilizes the latest in technology. It is satellite-controlled.
Satellite-controlled?
With this remote, I can rain devastation down on Slag City from anywhere on the globe.
But why would you want to? Half of the fun is getting to see the fruits of your labors firsthand, looking through the crosshairs and squeezing the trigger.
You'll find out in just 2 seconds. Why isn't it working?
What satellite do you have it linked to?
The newest satellite there is, Tailstar 1.
Which is only in range here for 20 minutes out of every 2.5-hour orbit.
But I just tested it!
Which means you have another 110 minutes before it'll work again!
But...
Chief McGillicuddy, send all available units to Desolation Peak.
But... Wait, I have a hostage, Lainey Long of the Slag City Ledger. Miss Long, say something to the mayor.
Don't worry about me, Mr. Mayor. Come get this crumb bum.
You heard the Lady McGillicuddy. Send them now.
But...
All right! Enough is enough! Did they teach you anything at Madame Villian's School for Hopefully Wayward the Boys?
I...
Never Give the hostage a free forum to speak, because they'll always say something selfless and heroic, especially Lenny Long.
Oh, what would you know about it?
I've been imperiling Miss Long since you were in swaddling clothes.
He has, you know.
Well, I'm not in swaddling clothes now!
Aren't you? Mr. Mayor.
Dr. Artegast, I didn't realize you were involved. I'll send the $5 million straight away.
No. I'm just an innocent bystander here. I believe Miss Long will vouch for me.
It's true, Mr. Mayor. In fact, he just stopped Dr. What's-his-name from doing any further harm. Turned him into a toddler with his baby ray.
I demand that you change me back this instant!
If I change you back now, the Slag City police will lock you up and throw away the key. But they can't arrest a minor.
I demand that you change me back later.
All in good time. And speaking of changing, Imp, would you be so good as to take young Master Vitogast back to his castle? I believe he left a deposit, so to speak. Are you certain? You're taking up so little space in it now. Dr. Vitogast, you've grown up so since our last meeting.
Oh, you won't be laughing in a minute.
I'm not laughing now.
I was hoping not to have to do this, due to the incalculable destructive power that will be unleashed. But you leave me no choice!
How am I leaving you no choice?
Imp! The beakers! Don't use that tone with me! Give them to me! When I mix the contents of these two beakers, I will have created the most powerful corrosive ever created! Oxychloride X!
Oh, you just made that up.
I did not! I heard it on an old episode of Lights Out.
Then you know what will happen if you mix those, right?
Silence!
Wait! Goggles, safety first.
Oh, of course.
You'll pay for that.
Threatening me, Dr. Artegast?
No, I mean you just ate a hole through my floor. I expect to be compensated.
Oxychloride X. It ate right through the beaker. Now it's loose upon the world!
And you consider that to be a good thing?
With Oxychloride X at my command, every government on the planet will have to pay me a king's ransom!
Except that it's not at your command. It's loose, and you have no means of stopping it.
Oh.
Vitogast, there's no sense in being master of the world if there's no world left to master.
But it's already loose.
Then we work together and find a means of neutralizing Oxychloride X.
Work together? I'd sooner see the Earth dissolved into nothingness!
When you were found as a baby on the doorstep of Madame Villain's school for hopefully wayward boys, wrapped in that very lab coat you're wearing now and holding a check for $10 million in your pudgy little hands, you were nudged down a career path. And you're so very close to reaching the culmination of it. Are you going to let petty jealousies take you off that path?
You're right. Wait. How did you know all that about me?
No time to explain now. We have a world to save. This one. Well, we did it. We neutralized oxychloride X.
Yes. Sorry about your floor.
Ah, think nothing of it.
But by the time we neutralized it, the oxychloride X had dissolved over a mile into the bedrock.
Ah, I'd been thinking of adding an escape tunnel anyway. So really, you did me a service. Saved at least a week's worth of boring.
So, how did you know all of that about me?
Ah, that's going to take a little bit of explaining. You know how you've wanted to be a mad scientist for as long as you can remember? How that very idea filled your every waking moment?
Yes.
And you know how you've idolized me for as long as you can remember? How the Von Blauenops and the Murdochis of the world were nothing but rank amateurs by comparison.
Yes?
And you know how you chose the name Artis Vitogast as a small boy, even before you knew of my existence.
Yes?
Well, there's a very specific reason for that.
Yes?
Mad science runs in our family.
You mean you're my father?
Not exactly. You see.
What?
The other day when I used the baby ray on you, that wasn't the first time I've done that.
What are you saying?
25 years ago, I used it on you in a fit of youthful pique.
But I wasn't even alive 25 years ago.
The sort of peak a young, aspiring, mad scientist has towards his elder. And better.
Wait a second. Are you saying what I think you're saying?
Only I hadn't perfected the use of the baby ray then. It de-aged you too far, leaving you a squalling infant with no memory of who you are. I'm not your father, Vitogast. You're my father.
Well, that would explain some of my dreams. But not all. Some of them would only make sense if...
If what?
Where did you grow up?
Why, at Madame Villain's school for hopefully wayward boys. Oh.
You were left as an infant, I'll bet. And with a sizable amount of money as a nest egg.
So, 2 decades before I used the baby ray on you, you'd used it on me?
So it would seem.
I wonder how many times we've been through this. I wonder who is whose father? What do you say we just bury the hatchet, so to speak? Be a team, a family. Even if we don't know who is who in our father-son relationship.
Deal. But first, let me find a safe place for that baby ray.
Ah, that should do it.
By my calculations, it should impact the bottom in 127 seconds.
In the meantime, we can recalibrate your satellite controller to one that is in geosynchronous orbit with this location, and then...
So ends This World's Not Big Enough by John C. Alzadek and Dana Perry Hayes. Tonight's story of suspense. Suspense is produced by Blue Hours Productions. Tonight's radio drama was written especially for Suspense by John C. Alzadek and Dana Perry Hayes and recorded at Melrose Music in Hollywood, California. Drake Bell was Artis Vitagast. Jonathan Goldstein was Vitas Artigast. Adrian Wilkinson was Lainey Long. Janet Vaughn was Imp. Sean Hackman was Mayor Edwards. And Steve Moulton was Barapus. I'm Damon Crawl. Next week at this time, tune in again for another study in suspense.
Hey there, my name is Callum Ng, the Executive Director of BC Athlete Voice. We're an athlete-focused organization helping British Columbia's athletes become their best. How do we do that? Well, if you're a BC athlete, we can help you with pretty much everything related to leadership, advocacy, and education. For example, we can help you find funding, start a new athlete group, or develop better public speaking skills. It's all at bcathletevoice.ca. And don't forget to look for us on Twitter and Facebook by searching BC Athlete Voice. Check it out.
Last year, over 650 BC teens aged out of foster care without a permanent family.
Adoption is not just for babies. Teens need families too. Only 24 teens in BC were adopted last year.
November is Adoption Awareness Month. To find out more about adopting a teen, contact the Adoptive Families Association of BC. Call 1-877-ADOPT-07 or visit us at bcadopt.com.
Tonight, we take pleasure in bringing you Suspense, a weekly anthology of notable melodramas from stage and screen, fiction and radio, presented each week to bring you to the edge of your chair, to keep you in suspense.
Hello? Hello? Is anyone there? Can anyone hear me? Anyone?
Yeah, I hear you.
Oh, thank God.
Well, don't thank him just yet. We're a long way from out of this.
Okay. I'm Erica Summers.
Max Dubinsky, Chief Steward, ESS Bellerophon.
Oh, you're part of the crew.
Miss, I'm the entire crew now.
Oh. But are you certain that we're the only survivors? I mean, I can see other people in the distance.
Any of them wearing spacesuits?
No.
Then it's just you and me. And it's a minor miracle we made it. So if you're gonna thank God for anything, thank Him for that. Here in space, miracles of any sort, big or small, hard to come by.
What do you think went wrong? With the ship, I mean. Everything happened so fast.
Atomic pile breach. Not the first time it's happened to a Penelope-class starliner.
What?
Substandard shielding. Three accidents like this in the past 2 years.
You mean it was a known problem and it wasn't rectified?
Oh, it was rectified, all right. Only the company that did the rectifying was the same one that supplied the bad shielding in the first place.
What?
Lady, money talks. Grease the right palms with the right number of credits, and you could shield that reactor with rice paper for all they care.
Is that also the reason why the Bellerophon doesn't have lifeboats? Just these suits?
You got it.
That's horrible.
That's how we ended up floating in space in a pair of survival suits.
Speaking of floating in space, where are you? I can't pick you out of all the debris from the ship.
I can't see you either. Tell you what, wave your arms real wide, and I'll do the same.
Okay. Do you see me?
No, nothing yet. Wait a second. Yeah, I think that's you. Yeah, I see you.
I still don't see you, though.
That's because you have your back to me.
How do I turn around?
Don't worry about it.
Please, it's important.
Really, don't worry about it.
I'm not an experienced spaceman like you. This is my first time away from home. And I'm scared. But seeing you there will help.
Okay, I'll walk you through it. But pay attention, all right?
I will.
On the left forearm of your suit, you'll find a small panel. The main section is a readout that shows how much oxygen you have in your tanks and what the CO2 level is inside your suit. See it?
Yes.
Right next to it is a small toggle switch. It's under a plastic cover. You want to open that cover, but gently.
Okay, I have it.
That's your attitude control.
Attitude control? I could sure use that right now.
You and me both. I mean, it's used to adjust your orientation in space. There are micro thrusters on your shoulders and your boots. You turn the toggle in the direction you want to be facing, and your suit will figure it out from there.
Can I use it to move, too?
You can, but I wouldn't recommend it. The thrusters use oxygen from your suit tanks, so every move you make leaves you with less air.
But just turning around wouldn't use much, right?
No. Not much. Maybe 30 seconds?
Well, I think I can spare 30 seconds.
What if the rescue vessel's 30 seconds late?
I'll take that chance.
Hey, it's your funeral.
Okay, here goes nothing.
Just twist the toggle clockwise a half turn. Don't jerk it backwards or forwards at all. Got it?
Got it. I think that did it.
Yeah, looks like it. Can you see me now?
No, not yet.
Up and to your left. I'm waving.
There you are! I see you!
Good. You just passed your second class in spacewalking 101.
My second? What was the first?
Getting into that survival suit and out the emergency airlock. If you'd have flunked that class, there wouldn't have been any others.
Oh. I see what you mean.
Yeah.
So, is there a rescue ship on the way?
Oh, sure. Of course there is.
Really? Or are you just saying that?
No, there's definitely one on the way. Standard procedure for any spacer, from one-man scout to star dreadnought. As soon as the abandoned ship call is sounded, an omnidirectional distress signal is automatically broadcast on all frequencies. It's a foolproof system.
I just hope it wasn't built by the same people who made the atomic pile shielding.
Well, if it was, we may have a long wait before we can file a complaint.
How long do you think it will take for a rescue ship to arrive?
Why? You have a hot date or something?
And what if I do? I just mean, will it get here before our air runs out?
This is the most heavily traveled space lane in the system. It shouldn't be too long before an ore hauler or merchantman comes along.
But the ore haulers, they're fully automated ships, aren't they?
Yeah, but they have a basic crew quarters for just-in-case situations like, well, like this one. An ore hauler's programmed to answer a distress call same as a manned vessel, so no need to worry about that. Okay?
Okay. Wait a second. Are you drifting away?
Yeah. That's why I told you not to worry about being able to see me. We were propelled in opposite directions by the explosion. We'll drift out of sight of each other in another 20 minutes or so.
But will we at least be able to keep talking?
Oh, sure, sure. The suit radios have a range of at least 100 clicks. Even with all the static from the explosion, we shouldn't have any trouble keeping in touch until...
Until we get picked up, right?
Right.
How long have you been in the space service?
Since I was 17.
17? Is that even legal?
Legal? No. But the space service is always looking for warm bodies to fill the uniforms. And they figure that any kid signing up for a 10-year hitch probably isn't going to be missed too bad at home.
Is that how it was for you?
What? My folks not caring if I disappeared? Oh, yeah.
I'm sorry.
Don't be. If I'd have stayed on Earth, I'd be in the same welfare district I grew up in. A dead-eyed zombie glued to the vid screen and high on tranks. Now, I get to travel the stars, see sights most people can't even imagine, and I get paid to do it. Not a bad life.
Except for the parts where you end up marooned in space, that is.
Well, I try not to make a habit of that. And anyway, enough about me. What made you decide to come out and explore the farthest reaches of the Orion Arm?
Oh, I'm not out exploring. I'm just going to Proxima 3. My sister lives there, and her letters have painted such an amazing picture of life there that I had to go.
And your sister didn't steer you wrong. It's like Earth used to be, before we humans fouled it all up. You're not from Earth, are you?
No, Mars colony.
I figured. You're way too well-spoken.
Thank you, I guess. Have you ever been to Mars?
You know, for as much knocking around explored space as I've done, that's one place I've never been. Too close to Mother Earth, I guess. What's it like?
Oh, it's beautiful in its way. You know how it is when you come from a place.
No, not really.
Oh. Well, I grew up in Argo City, near Nanadi Valis. The great mountains of Mars, Olympus Mons and the others, taller than Earth's highest peaks, are far to the west. It has a desolate sort of enchantment about it. Like the way the deserts of Earth used to be.
Doesn't sound so bad.
Of course, I had to admire most of it from afar. The terraforming is still incomplete, so we have to wear pressure gear when we go outside the dome.
So that's how you were able to get into that survival suit so quickly. Experience.
Yes, I guess so. Our suits, they have distress beacons in them too, don't they? I mean, the rescue ship will be able to find us, won't it?
Yeah. The suits have a built-in beacon that activates as soon as you lock the helmet seal.
But how do we know that it's working?
It's easy to check. Go back to that little readout panel on your left forearm, just below your O2 indicator. You see which one that is, right?
Yes.
Just below that is a control knob with a plastic cover on it. That's your radio channel selector. Unclip the plastic cover.
Okay, I see it.
Turn it 2 clicks counterclockwise. That will switch your receiver over to your suit distress beacon. You'll hear a steady beeping sound.
Okay.
But once you've satisfied your curiosity, turn the switch back 2 clicks clockwise. Otherwise, you'll miss out on all my witty repartee.
I couldn't have that now, could I? All right. I'm switching it now. Well, I'm back.
Welcome. Did you hear your beacon?
Yes. In fact, I think I heard yours, too.
Good to know.
So, what sort of range do the suit beacons have?
About the same as the suit radios. 100 kilometers, give or take.
Even with the static?
Even with the static.
Will that be enough?
Should be. Any rescue ship will proceed to the coordinates sent out with the Bellerophon distress call. We're drifting away from those coordinates, but we won't drift 100 clicks away. At least, we won't before we run out of,
Before we run out of time? Air?
Same difference.
You've almost completely disappeared from sight now. You're barely more than a dot on the
horizon? Sorry. Don't have those in space. That's strictly a planetary phenomenon.
Well, what about the event horizon around a black hole?
Event horizon? Yeah, you definitely didn't go to school on Earth. Anyway, if we find ourselves being drawn into a black hole, we'll know we're in real trouble.
Yeah, not like now. Max, I'm really scared.
Look, just hang in there. Me too, miss.
You? Really?
You think this is a typical day in the life for me either?
But you're an experienced spaceman.
Spaceman? I'm a steward. I take care of the passengers' needs, bring their meals. I've never even been out in one of these survival suits before.
But you know how everything works.
That's only because the skipper did weekly efficiency drills. So sure, I know how to put the suit on and what buttons to push. That's it. All the rest.
What? What are you trying to say?
What I'm trying to say, miss, is that I don't know a darn thing other than we're marooned.
So, there's no rescue ship coming.
How would I know? Do you think the captain comes up to me and says, Dubinsky, time to get those happy hour drink orders. Oh, and can you double check these navigational coordinates for me? I don't know. I truly don't.
Then what would your best guess be?
My best guess. If we were in a planetary system, I'd say pretty good. Most systems have a lot of space traffic, and they're also patrolled pretty regularly by astral watch ships. But here...
I understand. You're all but out of sight now. Just a fleeting dot on the non-horizon.
As fleeting as any hope we might have.
Sounds like you need to use your attitude control. Look, we're still alive.
For now?
And as long as we are, there's hope.
You're not going to be feeling so hopeful when you're struggling for each breath as your oxygen runs out and carbon dioxide builds up in your suit. It's not like they show in the vids where you just quietly fall asleep and never wake up. It's a horrible way to die.
I know it is. I had a friend who went for a hike by herself, which you're never supposed to do. Got lost and ran out of air. The look on her face when we finally found her body.
And that's gonna happen to us! Better to open our faceplates now and have it be over in seconds.
No.
Why not? Ah, are you afraid to die?
What? That doesn't even make any sense.
What do you mean it doesn't make any sense?
According to you, we're dead either way. So what does it matter?
You're just afraid to end it quickly because you're holding on to that little shred of hope that a ship will pick us up.
Is holding on to hope such a terrible thing? Why are you in such a hurry to end it?
Because right now, we're just postponing the inevitable.
You asked me if I'm afraid to die. Of course I am. So are you. But even if we let go of hope, there's something else we should hold on to.
And what's that?
Grace. If we're going to die, then we're going to die. We don't have any control over that. But we can control how we face it. So let's try to face it with a little bit of grace. What do you say?
I don't know if I can.
Why not?
Because it isn't just that I'm afraid to die. It's that...
Go ahead. It's not like I'm going to be telling anyone.
It's that... It's that I'm afraid to die alone. I feel like I've been alone all my life. And to die alone?
But you're not alone. I'll stay on the radio with you right to the end, whatever that end may be.
I know. And thank you. But it's not the same. And anyway, you're probably going to run out of air before I do. Here I am, knowing that you'll die before I do, and all I can think of is how it'll affect me. Oh yeah, that's me, all right. Max Dubinsky, pride of the Earth Space Service. See? You're so disgusted with my behavior that you're left speechless. Now look, if you're gonna give me the cold shoulder, I'll just have to talk to somebody else. Miss Summers? Miss Summers, are you there? Miss Summers? Erica!
It's about time you called me by my first name.
Erica! But how? Oh, no. You didn't. Your oxygen indicator. Your tank's empty. Why?
I didn't want you to die alone.
But... Wait.
What are you doing? Wait, that's your oxygen line.
You mean our oxygen line. We're both drawing from my tanks now.
But...
Hey, you said I wasn't going to die alone.
Max, will you tell me about your first day in the space service?
So, you want to hear about the first day while you witness the last one?
It's appropriate, right? No, just wanted to hear about it is all. It was the start of a great adventure, right?
Oh, but it was also very nearly the end of my great adventure.
Really? How so?
Well, let's just say that trying to pick up the Commandant's daughter is not the way to make a good first impression.
But at least you made some sort of impression.
Oh, that I did. Enough to draw 30 days of KP duty.
No. I'm amazed you wanted anything to do with food service after that.
Didn't have a choice. Which reminds me of a story.
So Ends Lifeline by John C. Alzadek and Dana Perry Hayes. Tonight's story of Suspense. Suspense was produced by Blue Hours Productions and recorded at Melrose Music in Hollywood, California. Tonight's radio drama was written especially for Suspense by John C. Alzadek and Dana Perry Hayes. Tori Ernst was Erica Summers, and Talon Beeson was Max Dubinsky. I'm your host, Damon Kroll. Next week at this time, tune in again for another study in Suspense.
It's time to unlock the bathroom door and talk about Crohn's and colitis. They're lifelong diseases. They're on the rise among children under 10, and they involve severe abdominal pain, chronic diarrhea, and for many people, life-altering surgery. They're mired in secrecy and embarrassment, ignorance and fear, which only adds to the pain. It's time to make it stop. Crohn's and colitis. Make it stop for life. Visit crohnsandcolitis.ca.
And you are tuned in to CITR 101.9 FM. My name is Brian McDonald, and that's all the time that we'll have tonight for Scalds Hall. Coming up in a moment or so, we'll have Canada Post Rock with John. From all of us here in beautiful Vancouver, please have a safe and happy weekend.
Well-known pimp, narcotics king, big-time racket.